Hello, listeners. This is Bruce Johansson, Professor of Biblical Studies in the School of Theology at Walla Walla University. I will be your host again for Good Word. We are going to continue our discussion this week about Peter the Apostle, a pillar of mission. And to assist me, again, I'm pleased to welcome my colleagues, Dr. Carl Kosart and Dr. Paul Dibdahl. Gentlemen, welcome to our discussion.
Thank you, Bruce.
Thank you.
So today we're going to focus, we focused more on the person Peter last time, and this time we're going to look at Peter as a missionary. And already we're going to start with that in the Gospels, because there's this incredible passage. In the Gospel of Mark, it kind of is the turning point between Jesus, the hero, the miracle worker, the man of power, and then it introduces a shift in Mark's gospel to Jesus, the anti-hero, the suffering servant. And so it stands at the midpoint. In Matthew's gospel, we have a more full account of this discussion with Peter. Could you gentlemen sort of just...
Maybe it'd be good just to briefly read the passage first.
Yes.
If we could. So this is Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven."
Okay. That is, if anybody wanted power... This would be the text. I would love to have watched Peter and the other disciples' faces when this speech went on, this
I'm sure at first Simon was feeling pretty good because he gets some positive affirmation here, doesn't he?
Yeah. One of the first things that strikes me, this actually didn't come from Peter. This is not Peter, the fisherman, the man of flesh and blood speaking. This is Peter under inspiration.
Yes.
And Jesus makes a strong point of that.
Yes.
I think to lose that point is to miss what comes after, too. But he's already got the name changed from Simon to Rocky, if we could use a modern
equivalent,
Cephas, Peter, and then of course the play is on the words. That many people try to say that Jesus was pointing to "you are Peter," but then points to himself, "but upon this rock I will build my church." Does the text really support that? I have trouble with that. "You are Peter, and on this rock," it's Petros, and then it shifts to Petra, and it's a play on Peter's name. So personally, I'm going to argue that he's still talking, "Peter, you're a good brick, and on a good brick like this, I'm going to build my church."
Mm-hmm.
That's one way of paraphrasing it.
Mm-hmm. And ultimately, I think that this is the antecedent to that is what Peter did, and that was his testimony about you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and on this testimony, this rock, my church will be built.
So it's not Peter; it's Peter under inspiration,
yes,
and testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, but then you would go on to, "You are given the keys of the kingdom." You're going to open up the kingdom for people. That's a lot of power. And then after that, you have this this binding and loosing. Mm. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you release on earth will be released in heaven.
That passage has been taken very literally to say that, that on earth that, we have the authority to almost, put people in and put people out. And that's been used in a very negative way at different parts in church history, I think, to make this a power play for us. But it is a difficult passage, and I know you have. You said you had some insight in this, so I'm curious.
Well, I don't know if I have so much insight. I have my own take on it. Mm-hmm. And binding and loosing, if we go to the rabbis, we go to rabbinical literature, it is a technical term with them. And we know that from very early on with the establishment of the synagogue from Babylonian times, that you had the traditions of the fathers. And whenever an issue came up, they would go to see what the fathers had said, and rabbi said so-and-so, and rabbi said so-and-so. And then it became kind of a binding and loosing. And if there was some kind of consensus, that would be a binding.
So you're referring to this as like Jesus' reference to, you know, the traditions of men instead of the commandments of God. This would be kind of that idea.
That would be what would come to a Jewish mind, listening to this. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. However, if you look at the Greek it's a perfect participial periphrastic construction. Mm. And you could translate it, whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven.
Right.
And some translations go that
way. So the action that took place first really was the binding in heaven,
saying. Binding in heaven, yeah.
And then as a result, it's kind of confirmed.
Yeah, confirmed in Peter. And that would fit with, you know, flesh and blood is not revealed as to you, but my Father in heaven. Another interesting point is that the same authority is given to all the disciples in chapter 18. And in chapter 18, you have very much to do with church order. How do I deal with somebody who has offended me, and so on? What process?
Maybe once again we should read the verse.
Yes, so let's do that.
This is Matthew 18 and verse 18, words of Jesus. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven.
And the you in Greek is plural.
Yes, so this is him talking to the disciples as a collective group.
As a collective group. So what are we to make of this whole thing? Peter binds and looses, and all the disciples do that. In what sense do they bind and loose?
Well, I think once again this is pointing back to the testimony.
Yeah.
And we see that ultimately expressed in the writings of Scripture and the 27 books that make up the New Testament.
Yeah. From church history, one of the criteria was that the books that came into the canon had to be either by a disciple of Jesus or somebody close to a disciple. Mm-hmm. There are a few marginal books where things were unclear.
Basically, Luke and Mark are the two that are disciples of Peter or disciple of Paul, but still close.
Book of Hebrews also, which was associated with Paul, although his name's not in it.
Yes.
So that is interesting. And those books are testimonies to Jesus, aren't they? Mm-hmm. They are witnesses. And they have a lot to say about how we behave.
Mm.
Paul's letters are very instructive. The second part of his letters have a lot to say about what Christians do and don't do. And that would fit in definitely with binding and loosing. Yes. Peter's letters do the same thing. So I feel that's my own personal
take on it. So basically you're saying that we would say today that only on the basis of the authority of the proclamation in Scripture could I tell someone with confidence that Christ has forgiven their sins.
That's right.
It's because of the testimony of Scripture.
Because of the testimony of Scripture,
Very powerful.
Not too many verses after this, suddenly Jesus says, don't tell anybody this. I'm the Messiah. I'm going to, the Son of Man is going to suffer and die and be resurrected. And Peter gets pretty wordy with him.
Well, Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him.
Yes.
Pretty strong.
That's pretty strong from a disciple.
This is not the Messiah I want.
Yes.
What kind of Messiah were these guys looking for, ostensibly?
This is the great ruler that comes in and drives out the Romans and elevates them, his disciples, in the process.
Didn't John the Baptist say he would clear his threshing floor? So Peter was waiting for that, and then Jesus was going to die? No way. And then Jesus has this interesting state. One minute he's the spokesman of God, and next minute, get behind me, Satan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus turned to Peter and said to him, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. I mean, this...
Can you just imagine
quite
poor
the
Peter?
Interaction.
Talk about drama.
From the high, I am the... His great proclamation about the Christ, and then...
And the disciples in the background all sitting with their mouths open.
Yeah.
Poor Peter. I just can imagine. Yeah. What do you say next? But it is interesting that, once again, this Peter, an agent of hope, it is interesting in the Gospel of Matthew that this episode is followed by the Transfiguration.
Yes.
So Peter is affirmed.
I think that comes after, especially for for Peter.
Yeah, I think so.
And no wonder he wants to build three booths up there on the mountain. Ooh, he thought that he had lost out. What do we know about Peter's role in the mission of the church after the resurrection?
We know much. I mean, Peter is an interesting story, because roughly we could say that the book of Acts, which is the story of the early church, could almost be divided in half between kind of the Acts of Peter and the Acts of Paul, because Peter plays a very strong role, and then he kind of fades into the background as Paul rises to the forefront. But to me, it's interesting that the role we do see of Peter, and we can talk about this in specifics, is that really, although Peter seems to the beginning to be kind of the main leader of the church, that ultimately it's James, the brother of Jesus, that seems to be the one that takes responsibility, at least in the church in Jerusalem.
And that sneaks up on us. It's just in Acts 7:15, he's, you know, he kind of acts like the spokesman.
Mm-hmm.
I have decided.
And we don't see Peter saying, wait, you took my position. I mean, there's once again a transformation that's taken place.
But in the first part, Peter is the first one to say, we need to round out the 12. We need to choose.
Mm-hmm. He clearly takes a leadership position.
Yes.
And in Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes, he's the one who speaks. Mm-hmm. He's the one who responds to the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
When they say, brothers, what should we do? They ask a collective question, and Peter is the one who responds.
Mm-hmm. Uses John the Baptist and Jesus will repent.
Yeah.
Yes.
So he clearly is at the forefront of mission at the beginning of Acts and through subsequent chapters.
We think that possibly Philip was the earliest missionary to Gentiles, but Peter had a fairly traumatic dream, didn't he?
Yeah, with Cornelius in Acts chapter 10.
Yeah, and this sheet came down full of unclean animals, and he was hungry, it says, and he dreamt about, it says, take up and eat.
Mm.
I think one of the things that that impresses me is that he was willing to go in the end.
And he has a wonderful line when he comes to the home of Cornelius finally. Again, he was hesitant to do that, but when he comes, one of his opening lines is, I now realize that God doesn't show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. So
that's,
you see, the opening of Peter's heart to people that he earlier would have been closed to.
Yeah,
even as an apostle.
Baptized and they received the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
You know, some people think Acts should have been called the Acts of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Probably so.
And but Peter was open to that Holy Spirit and manifested the hope and the love and the mission of Jesus in his life in a wonderful way. Gentlemen, I want to thank you again for a stimulating discussion about Peter. Again, I would like to thank John Campbell, our program engineer, and for Good Word. This is Bruce Johansson. Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.